Hello, everybody, and welcome to Nintendo Fever Podcast. I am not Holly Felmuth. I am not Matthew Desmond, and I am not Bradley Cragen. I am Mike McSerdy. I get to host my own podcast this weekend, and I cannot be more excited to do so. Because this week, this special for this podcast will still be a normal podcast. Don't worry, I'm not taking anybody's space here. But this week's, or this special podcast, I guess you can call it, is all about Monster Hunter Generations. As it's Friday night recording this right now, hopefully you'll see this by Saturday evening. So, you know, just off of launch day, I've been playing this game since about noon. It's about 8:30 right now. And, you know, this is really big for me because my first podcast ever for Nintendo Radio was about Monster Hunter. And now I'm coming full circle hosting my own about Monster Hunter. And I get to share this wondrous feat of mine with someone else's first podcast ever. I bring to you guys another writer from Nintendo Fever for his first podcast. Say hello to Lucas Termini.
Hey guys, this is Lucas. You probably don't know me unless you search the deepest realms of Nintendo Fever and find one of the few articles I've actually written. Like Mike said, this is my first podcast, so I'll try to do y'all proud, but no promises.
I had to drag both of us away from playing Pokemon Go to play Monster Hunter so we can make a podcast. Lucas, 30 seconds. What do you think about Pokemon Go?
I think it's fantastic. It's getting me outside. It's literally getting everyone outside. Nothing's getting done at work. And yeah, it's pretty much the greatest thing I've ever played.
Okay, awesome. Cool. That's all we need to talk about Pokemon Go, because he missed last week's episode of the podcast. And he loves Pokemon Go as much as we all do. And he needed that extra word in there. Okay, but today is all about Monster Hunter. This is the newest iteration in, is still considered the fourth generation of Monster Hunter. The last game to come out was Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate on Nintendo 3DS. So, Lucas, for those who haven't played this game before, who don't even know what Monster Hunter is, like, what is Monster Hunter? Like, what makes this game? And I know you're going to be surprised when I ask you this, but is there more to it than hunting monsters?
Well, let me start by saying that there is more to it than hunting monsters. There's also collecting berries and mushrooms. But Monster Hunter, for people who don't know, is probably one of the biggest games you'll ever play in your life. It's a game that literally can take you upwards of 500, 600 hours just to finish all of the content in the game. But the basic game is kind of it's not really open world. You go on specific missions, but you go out into the wilderness, and most of the quests involve hunting monsters, like the game implies. But there's also a bunch of different missions that just kind of challenge every aspect of your gaming ability, from, like, beginner-level stuff to insane stuff that takes four people, and even then you're going to have to try it, like, 40, 50 times to get it right.
Yeah, we've had a lot of our shares of that. Lucas and I have been playing Monster Hunter for, well, over 2 years now. I first got into Monster Hunter for Monster Hunter Tri on the Nintendo Wii from a friend of mine. He recommended it. And after I met Lucas, after the Wii U came out, thanks Nintendo Land. the Wii U did something good, guys, I swear. But I got Lucas into playing Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate on the Wii U. And ever since then, he's been addicted. He's finally passed me in 4 Ultimate, even though I'm still his mentor. But we've been playing Monster Hunter on and off forever, ever since then. And because this game is titled Generations, it's kind of like a all-encompassing, like, greatest hits album of every game so far. This game features 10 new, solo monsters, like, aren't, like, related to each other. There's a bunch more subspecies that are also introduced. Those are just, like, the same monster, like, recolored, new attack powers and stuff. But so in terms of, like, new monsters, there's not a lot. But this game has a lot of old monsters from the original game, from on Sony to the Nintendo era, all the way up. And Lucas and I are actually currently playing Monster Hunter right now. We're doing a really easy mission just so we don't get too caught up in the game. But we wanted to, like, feel the moment with you guys while we're playing. So if you hear any button clicking in the background, we're just playing right alongside with you. So I want to jump into it saying, like, what makes this game stand out, aside from, like, the long gameplay hours you can put into this game? Like, what about it makes it different from any other RPG you can play, like, of a similar vein? Like, what do you think?
Well, I think one of the aspects, just the fact that you called it an RPG, I feel like could be misleading to a lot of people, because it doesn't have a lot of the traditional aspects that an RPG would have. It doesn't have turn-based battling. But I think one of the most interesting features, gameplay-wise, is that you actually don't ever get any stronger as a character. It all comes from ranking up and leveling up your equipment, which is all done from defeating monsters and getting the rewards that follow out of that. So you don't actually have to spend hours and hours grinding just to level up and get to the next level and get stronger. It all comes from hunting monsters, and you can choose to specialize in certain monsters to get certain equipment. So it's kind of its own unique subgenre of the RPG genre.
Right, and that's what makes Monster Hunter so nice, is because you don't level up like in the traditional sense, but at the same time, you still kind of need other people to help you get stronger, because some of these monsters are so tough, you cannot beat them on your own without a lot of trial and error. Like, more than some people will probably want to put in on their first playthrough. They don't want to take all these crazy monsters on their own without some kind of help. So, like, it's a community effort to get everyone stronger at the same time.
Yeah, and on top of that, it makes it sound like a new player could just come in and join up with friends and, you know, instantly get the strongest equipment. But they do put certain level caps on the game that prevent you from doing that. And even the players who find ways around that and do advance a few brackets above their skill level, they find that there's really a lot of the game that you actually have to just get more skilled through playing it. It takes a lot of work to really get into those higher rank things. You need to have a certain level of skill that you gain from playing the game.
Right. So you can mooch off of other people, but at the end of the day, you do need to get good, as they say, in this game. But this game is, like I said, an all-encompassing game, but there are some new features to it. I want to go over some of the things that are kind of left over from the older games. Like the first thing you do in this game is you make your own character, as any RPG would do, even though we said it's a traditional RPG in a sense. But in any kind of like role-playing game or like MMO that you play with other people, you create your own character, your own identification. And I feel like this time around, like, the character creation is so much more in-depth. There's still like the same amount of like options or categories you can choose from, but the options that are in are so much more detailed. I was joking around earlier. I sent Lucas a photo. One of the hairstyles you can pick, it's kind of like an anime hairstyle. So I dyed it yellow, and I'm like, I can be Goku from Dragon Ball. Like, I'm not going to lose. I'm Goku. And, like, silly things like that makes Monster Hunter so entertaining to new people, because you can make yourself look like whatever you want. Like, you can do anything you want. What else can you do? Lucas, like, in your couple hours of the game, what have you found it's, like, kind of, like, same from the last game we played? We played 4 Ultimate, like, hundreds of hours. And it's a bit different than 3 Ultimate, 4 Ultimate is. Like, and we're still in like the fourth generation of game. It uses the same engine as the last game. So, like, what do you think is, like, kind of, like, the same from the last game compared to, like, what is new? We'll get into the new stuff after this, but, like, what do you think is, like, similar, I guess you can put it?
Yeah, we'll save the exciting stuff for later. One of the things that stuck around that, you know, obviously it is the same game engine, so it makes sense, but one of the things that stuck around that, you know, I'm happy to see is the kind of fluid movement and control over your character. In 3 and 3U and, you know, that series of games, that generation, it always felt kind of clunky to me, and maybe it's just because I was a new player, but it never felt quite as dynamic. In 4, you could, like, jump off of vine walls onto monsters that you could then ride and stab from the back, and it had much more kind of, you have control over your character kind of feel, and I'm happy to see that that's stuck around in this new game.
Yeah, that's something cool we should bring up too. To new players, to kind of coax you into Monster Hunter, most RPGs don't let you do this, but you can ride, you can mount and damage a monster, you can jump on its back, knock it over, they'll be like, what are you doing, or rawr, monster, and then you're just like, nope, I'm gonna stab you, and I'm gonna knock you over, and then they have a nice long, like, oh, I'm hurt, period. You just wail on them and knock them out even more. So that's, like, one of the things I use to, like, lure people in. Like, you can ride the monster and beat them up. You can make them pay for hurting you and your friends and your palicos. And palicos are also back in this game. If you played Tri, or, like, Monster Hunter 3, the third generation, they were a bit gone. They had their own little people you can play around with. But palicos are back. And they have, like, a whole new role in general this game around. You also have a mode now called Prowler Mode. And what Prowler Mode does is you become your palico. And you can pick any palico. You no longer have to be locked into the one that you pick in the beginning. You can pick any palico to be your lead one, your lead kitten, if you want to be more open to new people. You can pick any cat you want. And you can become them. You have armor, you have weapons and stuff. And the gameplay for that is so much different. I played Power Mode in a demo, and I actually liked it. I know you weren't a big fan of it, Lucas. So, Like, for me personally, what I found great about it is it's not entirely different from a hunter, like the human hunter in a way, but also at the same time, you become like way more agile, way more movement oriented. Like, you're not weighed down by your armor. You keep running, you keep sprinting, and you find yourself in the air more often. Like, your attack combos like end up in like being like aerial combos. You flip around in the air and swing your little cat paws around and hurt people. And you don't have stamina like you do as a hunter. You don't get tired and everything. What you have is like a build-up meter for all your special moves you can do. And your special moves are also found in your hunter in this game, but those are kind of different. We'll get to those later on. But for the Prowler, you get certain moves like, okay, say you want to heal your teammates. You have a horn that can heal people, and you can use that whenever. But there's some moves like a charging like rush move that you fly into the monster. That requires some energy, and over time you hit the opponent, you build up energy, and then you can let it out in one big burst attack. And I find that to just be like so much more visually rewarding and like mentally planned out. Like you have to plan out your moves in this mode. And I know Lucas is more of like an instinct. Okay, I know I'm gonna attack it like this. I'm gonna attack it like that. That's my plan from the beginning. But I like to plan things out as I play. And so Prowler mode allured me in that sense of the way. Lucas, I know you didn't like it as much as I did, but what did you find interesting about that mode?
Yeah, I actually wanted to comment on it because there are a lot of interesting features about it. For those of you who don't know me, which is probably pretty much everyone who's listening to this, as opposed to Mike, I prefer to play with weapons that are a lot lighter and a lot faster, so you'd think that a mode like being able to play as a Palico would appeal to me, because, you know, the whole class is kind of based on speed over power. But the gameplay just feels so different to me that I actually found it a little jarring. One of the things I really liked about it, though, is it really kind of sets itself up as the premier healing class in the game. Up until now, there really hasn't been a way to consistently heal your allies. There's a hunting horn, which is a type of weapon for newbies that, it's not for newbies, but for people who might not know. It basically acts as kind of like a support weapon. You can power up your allies. Sometimes you can heal them, things like that. But the Palico actually has an ability that doesn't take any charge that heals life. And it doesn't heal a lot of life, but you can do it over and over again. So I feel like having a Palico on your team could be a really cool way to stay away from dying, which is kind of a big important thing in this game, because for those of you who don't know, you share 3 lives when you're hunting a monster, and if you lose all 3, it's game over, and you could lose like 40 minutes worth of hunting.
Yes, and that being said, you have Palicos with you as you hunt normally, but the Palicos are kind of like random AI. They kind of do whatever they want to. They usually help you. They're not the worst AI you can have. If anyone's played Kingdom Hearts, they're not Donald bad in terms of like healing you, but they tend to not always heal you when you need them the most. So when you can become your own Palico, you are on top of everything. And like I mentioned before, this kind of bleeds into our next what's new feature. There are also like some new moves and new concepts for the hunter itself, or himself or herself. And this is also great for new and recurring players, because every game so far, and there's been a lot of Monster Hunter games on a myriad of different platforms, they've all pretty much played the same for each weapon. I mean, a great sword is a great sword is a great sword in every game up until now. And now we have 4 different play styles. You have the guild style, which is your true to form Monster Hunter 1 upward to now play style. The attack is the same. Nothing is different. And you have one called a strike mode, I believe it's called, where this one is pretty much the exact same as the guild form. There might be a bit different in attack power, but you have an extra slot for what they call now Hunter Arts. Hunter Arts are your super moves, your hyper-powered moves. They take a while to build up. You have a meter for them for each one. You build them up, and you can let them out. In your guild mode, you can only have 2 of them, but in your strike mode, you can have 3. And this is great if you want to just try all the moves out and try to be more adept of a player. There's also an adept style, which Lucas is a big fan of. I can't get my head around it. But what this form does, Lucas, you're actually using this mode right now as you're hunting. So you can talk about what's so big about this mode as I heal you.
Okay. thank you, Mike. The adept mode is actually my favorite mode. And the way it works is it's basically kind of like your precision mode. If you dodge a lot, it's a good mode for you. The specialty from it comes in, you have to dodge exactly before the monster is about to hit you. There's a very small window of opportunity to do it. But if you do it, it triggers a powerful counterattack move that, in addition to dealing damage, actually lets you mount the monster, which is pretty cool. The only downside to the, I keep wanting to call it Bushido like it is in Japan, the Adept style, the biggest downside is that you only get one special attack. So it kind of limits your ability to really spam those specials and deal a lot of hardcore damage.
Right. I'm not very good at dodging because I use a greatsword, and a greatsword has a shield function where if you hold on to the bumper button, you can put your sword up and just block incoming attacks and you use some of your stamina. That's how I prefer to play. So the Adept style, I have no idea what I'm doing. There's one more style that's introduced to this game, and it's my personal favorite of the new ones. It's called Aerial style. And it sounds, it plays just like it sounds. You end up jumping around a lot. You can't actually jump as a command in this game. You can jump off of ledges and stuff. You can like jump off of like walls and onto monsters. But you cannot press a button while you're walking just to make you jump. But in this mode, if you do a dodge roll or if you run around, you can end up doing a quick like a backflip or so onto a monster, even if you're lucky, or just out of the way of an attack. And while you're attacking, you can also do some jump moves, and this allows you to combo into like a mounting move, or let's say a monster's trying to attack someone else, or they have one of your allies pinned down, you can use your attack to jump on them and knock them off. The problem with this one is it limits some of your movements. This is really bad for the greatsword, because the greatsword has a charge attack, which is one of the strongest attacks in the game. You can charge it up for a certain amount of time. You get like a high-level charge, and your attacks are super powerful. In the aerial style, this is totally gone. You only have your quick slash, your side smash, your upswing. There is no charging whatsoever, so the greatsword becomes kind of hindered. But if you're really good at the game, if you're really good at that particular weapon, it's not going to affect you that much. I'm not sure how other weapons are affected by this, but I'm sure there's similar hindrances to that.
Actually, I'd like to point out, the first time I tried the Striker style, I tried it with the Insect Glaive, which was one of the newer weapons in Monster Hunter 4. And the Insect Glaive actually controls very differently with Striker, which I didn't think would be a thing because most of the weapons aren't affected by that class. But in Striker, the entire way that you command the bug has changed, and it makes it a lot more confusing. I had a really rough time of it because it was also my first time playing the new game. And it wasn't very welcoming for somebody who had played that old game with that old style for, like, you know, over 100 hours.
Right. So that might actually be a really good way to play, but for people who have come into this game, some of these new, I guess you can call them, like, weapon choices, I guess, because they are the same weapon with their way new play styles. It's a bit jarring, a bit confusing, and you might want to, like, stick to what you know, but I honestly tell you that after you try them for a while, you will be very, very pleased with what you find in terms of new playability, new maneuverability. And I say this knowing very well I'm playing with the original style right now because that's what I'm used to and I love playing as it.
Yeah, the thing about Monster Hunter is that there's so much to do in the game. And for some people, like Mike, it's fine to stick with one weapon that entire time and it never gets old for you. But then you have players like me who are constantly switching out their weapons because they get bored. And I think the new styles really help add a lot of diversity to it, and it'll help keep the game feeling fresh for a long time, you know?
Yes, and we're going to get into our play styles and how we personally feel with the game so far and our time playing it in a minute. But I want to take another second to go over one more thing for recurring players. I'm sure people who have played Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate are aware of this feature, but if you have a Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate save file on your SD card on your 3DS, you can get a new feature to transfer not your data per se, but some good items to Monster Hunter Generations from your file. You get a bunch of potions and mega potions and healing items and traps. You get these new things called Lagni Apples. I'm not sure if they're new in terms of the whole genre, but either to me they're new. They weren't in any of the other games that I played, but they're just like trading incentive items. You use them to trade other items with and go out and collect other things on your various hunting expeditions. You get some money and some extra resources. You don't get anything from your actual game, so I can't start off with my wonderful rainbow armor. But you do get some extra incentive to, like, get a head start into the game if you have played before. It's kind of like a way for Capcom and Nintendo to say, hey, you've played a game. We know there's a long learning curve and a long introduction to this game. let's have something for you to do so you feel like you have like a bit of a headway into the game already.
You actually reminded me when you were talking about setting up your account, there was a feature that I noticed, and I'm willing to admit that neither of us are going to know that much about it right now because we're both pretty new to this version, but there's something called reuse character when you're starting a new account that seems kind of like a new game plus. It allows you to keep some of your equipment, but the equipment level cap seems pretty low. It also allows you to keep a few of your items and like a select set of things. It seems like a good idea for somebody who's starting fresh, but I can't really see much potential for ever using it because you usually don't want to start Monster Hunter over once you've done it. I mean, you can always just go back and play with weaker equipment if you want that early game challenge again, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I know some people who I've played with that, like, start have plenty of files and stuff. They start them over after they hit a certain level cap and they just do it over again. But, I mean, personally, I don't see myself using this because I have one account. I like using that one thing. So it's not going to bother me, but it's a cool feature. Like if you like get tired of a certain way of playing or you don't like your character anymore, you can pick a new name, new gender, new whole layout of person. So I can see it being useful, just not personally for either one of us, I guess. But good on you, Capcom, for introducing, for putting something like that into the game. So let's talk about like our experience with the game so far. We're actually in the middle of a hunt, like I said. We've been interrupted from our main mission of collecting some everyday items to deliver to this item chest by a monster from Monster Hunter 4 called the Tetsukabra, and he's currently kind of working a number on us. So we currently have low equipment or low grade equipment. This guy isn't very powerful, but we're playing against a stacked deck pretty much. The house is winning against us at the moment.
I'd like to think we're keeping our composure though for the podcast while we're doing this. It's pretty intense, but we're maintaining.
My weapon has very low sharpness, so I'm kind of having to redo my weapon over and over again, but we're doing okay. But I've been playing the game a bit more than you have because I didn't have to work today, so I had a couple more hours in my playthrough. But so like, what have you encountered so far in this game? Like, that we haven't already talked about. Like, what do you, like, how do you feel about the game so far in your 3 or 4 hours of playing it?
Well, one thing that I always forget when I start Monster Hunter, and that's kind of a loaded statement since I've only started like 3 Monster Hunter games, maybe 2, is that it's really challenging at the initial level. I always forget how hard it is at the beginning, because when I've been playing for like 200-300 hours in one save file, these early fights take like 10 or 15 seconds. But I started the game, skipped through all of the text boxes, because guys, there are a lot of text boxes.
Yes.
And had no idea where I was going, immediately went to the online hub section and challenged one of the first big monsters and just got destroyed.
Yes, I went on Twitter to talk about how some people are having problems playing the first monster in a game called the Great Macau. And I thought, well, this is a really easy monster. If you played Monster Hunter before, this isn't a problem. And then I played the game and I forgot how weak my equipment is. And I'm just like, oh. And after I got my first death by him, I'm just reminding myself that this game is not always a walk in the park for you, Mike. You have to get back to where you were. You have the mindset to play this game, but you have to re-earn your materials, I guess. You have to re-earn your rank of pro hunter every time you play this game. And you brought up a good point. There's a lot of text boxes in this game. And to new players, I recommend reading all of it because there's a lot of stuff that goes on in this game. And to veteran players, read everything that comes up to you, because there's a lot of features that have been staples in this whole franchise that have been totally reworked. We'll get onto that a little bit later after I go over how I feel about the game. But there's so many old features that are brand new again, and I just thought, oh, well, I don't need to read all this stuff. I know what I'm doing. I spent more time reading each individual text box of like every mode and the help option, figuring out what I forgot, than I would have if I just read in detail what the characters are telling to me on the overworld map. So like in my 5 hours, that's been like the first 2 hours of my game. I was just collecting items and getting some decent equipment, because what you start out with isn't the best by any means of the imagination. I desperately grew bored and tired of my launch equipment made out of fossils and my big old hat and my furry jacket or whatever I had. But, I mean, at this point, it's Monster Hunter for me through and through. It's never going to be totally different than I'm like, whoa, this game is super rad. I mean, it is super rad, but I don't have that rush anymore that I get from playing. Like, for example, every new Pokemon game for me is different in a way. I get super like nostalgic. I get super rushed by it. This, I have to walk up to the monster, I gotta attack it, same style. There are new levels here. Currently, we have unlocked nothing. We're in a level now called the Jurassic Jungle, or Jurassic Forest, I believe. It's one of the first levels you open. It's tied to the first town you get into, called Braeher Village. That's the first of four main villages in the game. There are four main villages. There are Braeher, Kokoro Village, or Kokoto Village, Poke Village, and Yukomo Village. After you beat your first urgent quest, which is like your main, okay, here's your big boss, kill it. After you beat your first urgent quest, you unlock access to all those levels as well. And I've just done that before I started the podcast. I've unlocked the whole entire overworld map. Not saying I'm anywhere near done playing, God no. But I've opened my field to explore and be devastated by it over and over again. In terms of weapon choices, we brought up before, I'm more of a one hunter or one weapon kind of guy. I have the greatsword, which is one of the original weapons. It's a big giant sword. There's a greatsword in pretty much every kind of game you can think of. There's a big giant weapon, unwieldy, needs two hands to hold it. You can walk really slow with it, does a lot of damage. That's what I'm using. There's also like a big old hammer. Those are my two weapons, the biggest, slowest, strongest weapons. Lucas is more diverse. He prefers all the agile, quick combo-heavy weapons. You can talk about that real quick, then we'll get into some other details of the game.
All right. Well, like Mike said, I started playing, I picked up something called the Dual Blade, which is basically the quickest, one of the weakest weapons in the game. As opposed to Mike's style, which is hitting hard and hitting as often as possible, but isn't that often.
Oh, the monster's dead.
Killed him. Nice. Mike prefers to hit heavy and do a lot of damage in one hit. My weapon choices usually hit a lot, but they don't deal much damage. So it kind of evens out, but in general, Mike can kill monsters faster than I can. I will say, though, that unlike Mike, I have probably switched between, like, 8 different weapons since I started playing this series.
And there's only 14 in the game, so Lucas has a wide encompassing range of playstyles for the entire game.
Yeah, absolutely. Some of the weapons I found have changed a little bit from 4 to this particular version, Generations. The dual blades I found exactly the same, honestly. I don't see really any difference in them. The insect glaive, which was one of the new ones in 4U, has kind of taken a hit, I feel like. With the new aerial style, it kind of loses some of its appeal. For those of you who don't know, back in the day, it was kind of the only weapon that you could be used to, back in the day, like 2 years ago. It was like the only weapon that could be used to jump up in the air and mount monsters really easily. That was kind of its signature move. It's not really as effective anymore, I think in part because of the whole aerial style introduction. But the weapon that I'm currently using, and I think the weapon I'm going to stick with, is actually kind of the default weapon in the game, the sword and shield. I've never really liked this weapon. I've always thought it looked kind of cool, and I always wanted to give it a try. But when I was playing the demo, I just fell in love with how fluid it feels when it attacks. Even from 4U, I feel like it's got a real edge, and it just plays so much better. And they added these new items called oils. There's an affinity oil and a stamina one that you can get right now. And they give your weapons little added boosts. The sword and shield is kind of all about using items. It's kind of a lot like Legend of Zelda Link, how he's got like the bombs and the arrows and the boomerang and everything you can think of. It really gives you a much better chance to use your items, so it kind of makes sense to incorporate a new power-up in an item-based format, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, and I'm never going to try the sword and shield because I cannot handle having one small weapon that has very low attack power. But the cool feature was the sword and shield does have its perks, though. It is the only weapon in a game where you can have your weapon out and still use an item. So you don't have to put your weapon away and risk getting hurt before you heal yourself again, which is nice. But the great sword has its shield, has like its own shield. It's a big old giant sword, so I don't really care. Some of the other features I found in this game, what's very disappointing for me, and probably not for Lucas, because we both hated it, but I had fun doing it. There is no underwater combat in this game. In Monster Hunter Tri, it was a big prominent feature on the Wii and the Wii U version, and the 3DS too, I guess. But you could swim underwater, and it had like a whole 3D range of motion to it, more so than it would normally. Like, not as well as this game has in terms of like fluidity, but in terms of like you can move everywhere, like radical movement. And the water wasn't always the best to like for overall play, because the depth perception was really bad underwater. I would not deny anyone ever saying that. But I just like the whole new style of it. And they brought back some of the monsters from that game that kind of specialize in underwater combat, like the Royal Ludroth, particularly. He was a monster that had half his fight underwater and half his fight above ground. Now he's all above ground, and there's some other aquatic-looking monsters that have no underwater features to them because it's just not in the game. And when I found that out, I was very disappointed, but it's not going to take the game away from me in a high praise sense of a feature. I'm still going to love the game regardless. I love 4 Ultimate without being able to play underwater, so it's not going to be the worst thing in the world. Some other new things you can find in this game are, well, not even new, but in the game, there's also a little pet you can have. It's a little pig called a Poogle. The Poogle's still here. It's a cute little pig you can dress up in outfits, but now, and Lucas might have bypassed this because he went right to the multiplayer, but there's a big freaking sheep. It's adorable, and oh my god, I love it. It's got little bows in its hair. You can pet it and kiss it, and there's a little baby one you can dress up to, and it's awesome.
We need to go back to town right now so I can see the sheep, because I have no idea what you're talking about, and it sounds amazing.
Oh man, we have to look at it when we get out of this quest. You have to go look. But what else is cool on here? You have this. There's also the housekeeper, still the same from the old games. You can still like have him like go to your DLC menu and stuff. DLC is still a thing in this game. It's all free, just like the last couple games are. There is no paid DLC announced just yet, but there are some collaboration ones with like Nintendo and like some other games. There's like a DLC Palico skin for a game called Strider, which I've never played before. There's a Wind Waker skin coming out. There was a Mega Man game or skin in the old game for 4 Ultimate. Now we're gonna get Star Fox skins and some other stuff. And there's some DLC out already. There's a starter pack for all you new players that don't know what to make heads or tails of. You start out with no healing items or anything in the game. You have to make your own. But if you get the starter pack, which is free, you get like a whole amount of like 30 or so potions, 30 or so mega potions, like 100 honey, you can make all your items out of. It really helps you out in terms of getting a foot into the game, per se. And real quick, Lucas, what are we doing? I forget what we're even doing right now.
We're supposed to collect 20 of, luckily there's a quest info box, unique ferns. 20 unique ferns.
Oh, how many do you have,
Brayton? I have like 4 or 5.
I have, I don't even know. I have 9. Okay, so we're halfway there.
For those of you who are new to the series, one of the kind of more annoying features of Monster Hunter is when you start out, the first few quests are not exciting, they're not glamorous. It's usually like, pick 10 mushrooms, but they have to be a specific type of mushroom, and it's randomly generated. And
yeah, and they don't always pop up, but I have found in this game so far, in the quests that I've played, that there are items to tend to pop up more often. In like the last couple games, especially on like 3 Ultimate and just try in general, Kelby horns are just little deer you can knock out and cut their horns. They almost never popped up, but I got like 10 horns out of like 15 carbs out of my first 20 or so Kelbies. So rare items do pop up more often in this game, but yes, the whole game is based on hunting monsters, and there's big monsters everywhere that'll kill you in like one hit if you don't be careful. You don't start out hunting them. You know, you gotta earn your way. You gotta pick all the mushrooms. You gotta make sure that this world is barren of plants before you can fight those big monsters.
Now, before we get moving on to other topics, I wanted to mention one other feature that I think has come back. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but you'll notice that we're hunting at night.
They won't notice that. They can't see our game, but there's a night hunting, yes.
And that was a feature that I think was absent in 4U, wasn't it? It was in the Wii U version, but there were no day-night cycles in the old game. It was just always daytime.
Not necessarily, because there was also, like, some levels, like, the Sandy Dunes and the, I think, yeah, that in particular had a day-night cycle. Like, the day level had, like more heat to it, and then the night cycle had a colder feel and had an extra room you can go into.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, so day and night cycles have been around before. They're not a big deal. If some monsters come up in certain times of day, they don't change as you play. They're like already tied in, but like certain quests require certain times of day, and they change automatically. From the last game, Team Over, there's a little island where you can pick your kitty cats from. That's still here, but in a different format. Now it's just a little town outside the main area. You can pick all your cats from. You can design your main Palico, like I said. You can design him to your own taste and stuff, which is great because you can play as him. The Meowster Hunters, the little cat game, mini game, is still back in 4 Ultimate, where you pick your cats and send them out on little hunt quests to kill little cardboard monsters. It's cute. It doesn't really get you anything important, but it powers up your cats and stuff, so that's pretty cool. Most of the stuff is the same from the previous games. The one big thing I found, or the two big things I found, you could talk about one, but I'll talk about the first one that I found. Before you every quest, you can go out and you can go to this little cafe or restaurant, and you can make your food, and these foods have perks for you. They boost your health, your stamina, you get some sets of skills, your attack can go up. That's still in this game, but it's nothing like it used to be. So what happens now is you start out with two different food you can make. You have like two ingredients, and you make food out of them. And in the old games, you pick food, and they had like a set amount of skills you can get from them. Now you make food, and they have like a set, like health boost or stamina boost, one or the other, not both at the same time anymore. And now you also get seasonings. You can get like a Worcestershire sauce or like chili seasoning, and they give randomly assigned skill boosts, and they don't always come into play, which is also like a feature brought back. But I don't like that personally, because my go-to setting, and I know a lot of seasoned hunters are gonna like shun me for this, because you shouldn't need that if you're a good hunter. But I picked certain two items in every game. So I got this skill called Weakener, and all the big monsters in the game, when they fought you, if this skill was applied, would lose a little bit of health, and if everyone that you hunted with had this power up as well, they get even progressively more weaker. I picked that mostly because people I played with didn't always have the same amount of skill as me, or they didn't really have any much experience. I wanted them to have a better chance of killing the monster. Didn't always work, but I mean, it was always there to have a chance with. Now, there's no preset skill that'll give you that, or preset food combination that'll give you that. So you have to just hope that something pops up that you want. If it's not there, better luck next time. You have to go with whatever they give you. But it's still very useful. You still want to eat before every meal to get a little bit of a health boost, because as you get on further in the game, even with your highest defense, some of these monsters will knock you out in two hits. So you want that extra defense and that extra health. And Lucas, you wanted to go over the new weapon forging system that's in this game, because you found it a bit confusing at first, and so did I, but you wanted to go about that, so take it from there.
Yeah, I was actually just thinking about that. There is a new way to upgrade your weapons in this game that's changed a little bit from the old style. Those of you who played 4U and used the insect glaive will probably have a little bit of an edge here, because it feels very similar to that. To upgrade your weapons in the old games, you just had to collect enough materials from different types of monsters, and then you could power up your weapon. It would usually come with a massive, you know, attack boost and maybe a few new abilities to it or things like that. In this version, though, you actually have to level up your weapon before you can even think about changing it into a new type of weapon, which kind of makes sense. It does feel a little more like traditionally RPG. Still, it's the weapon leveling up, not you. But you get little boosts, I'm noticing, as you go from level 1 to 2 and 2 to 3. You maybe get like an extra like 10 attack power instead of the usual like 100 or 200. So I think it's going to make leveling up weapons a little bit different, a little bit older. It might also give people like me who care more about how their hunter looks than how their hunter plays an edge, because you might be able to level up weapons that otherwise wouldn't be quite as powerful. So I'm kind of looking forward to seeing how well that works, and if maybe the field's a little more well-rounded now.
Yeah, and in the old games, if you want to upgrade your weapon to a new weapon, you require certain pieces that you need to kill a certain monster for. In this game, you still do, but to level up your weapon, you don't need any longer a specific type of ore or material. Now you just need a certain kind, like a certain thing. So, like, for example, my greatsword, to upgrade it, I need ore. There's like a million kinds of ore in this game. There's like earth crystals and like iron ore and like other kinds of ore. I can pick any of those. I know have different kind of like values to level up from, and that is different. But in the old game, to level up to a whole new weapon, a whole new like look, feel, like element to it, you need a certain part to get them. That is still the same. However, you have to level up your weapon first with the random assortment of ores or material that you need to even get there. So that's a bit of a roadblock if you want to just get your one good weapon right away, because then you need all this other stuff and different feeling, I guess. But it's not the end of the world by far. One other thing I wanted to point out real quick is awesome about the food skills I didn't bring up, I forgot. There is now a food skill that was not present in at least the last two generations. I have not played in depth other Monster Hunter 1 and 2. I've dabbled in them. I haven't played them all the way through. But there's now a food skill that if you get it, your first death does no longer penalize your team. You start out with 3 lives. If you die first time, it does not affect you. And that is great because some of these monsters in the game farther on, I can tell right away, right now, they're going to just destroy us. We're going to lose those 3 lives really quick. But if I get one more life, I know I can do it. And one other new cool feature that I found, it's actually right by the main menu, or the main questing area. When you start out in a level, there's a campground that you cannot be hurt by monsters at. And there's like an item box you can store your items in, an item box you can deposit items in. Now there's also another cat or palico that you can take the items that you have and give them to her. So you can put them back in your overworld, your main treasure chest. And this is great because let's say you're like me and you pick up the game after not playing for 2 weeks. You forget your item boxes, your item pouch is full of stuff. You can only hold like 20 or 30 items. And you go into a quest, you have to collect things, and oh crap, I don't have enough room for all this stuff. Now you can just, one time per quest, is give her everything, or whatever you want to give her, and send her away. And now your item pouch is open, you can put stuff in it. And I'm not sure if you noticed that, Lucas, or not, but that's just been a great saver for me, because I'm just not very well kept on putting items in the proper slots before I go to a quest, so I like having that opportunity.
Yeah, I actually did notice that. I had a concern, actually, when I saw it, and I'm hoping that, say, you collect items out in the wild while you're doing the hunt and you give them to her. I'm hoping that you don't actually get to keep those if you, like, say, fail the quest, because I feel like it could be kind of an incentive killer for some of your online hunting buddies if you're trying to kill that next monster and he's just out there to collect honey.
I'm not sure. I personally don't know. I haven't died enough to figure that out, but that'll be something we have to figure out and come back to you guys on a future podcast or a tweet from the Nintendo Fever account. But that'd be something to look into, but I don't think it'd be that bad of an idea or a bad thing to do because it's only one time per quest, so you have to like time it perfectly. You can't just like do it over and over again and stockpile items to get rid of them. So that's good. But moving on, how did Lucas? I kind of brought up like how you became like a monster hunter. I kind of gave it away, but like what drew you into becoming like a monster hunter fanatic? Like, and now you're just as tied into it as I am. But like, what drew you in? In that first point.
Yeah, well, I liked that earlier in you referred to yourself as my mentor. That was a nice little grab at some praise that you took there. I will say that Mike was the reason I started playing. Like Mike said, I did meet him kind of early into the Wii U, rather unusually for me, actually. I made a friend entirely online, but he was playing Monster Hunter. It's 3U, right? The Wii U version?
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, he was trying to get me into it, and finally I caved and I bought it, and I never got that into it. I only ever got up to about HR 5 or 6, I think, because I liked it. I thought it was fun, but it really ate a lot of your time, and that was back when I was kind of just finishing up college, and it was just kind of a weird time for me.
I have over 1,000 hours in that game, just so you know.
Yeah, Mike is kind of the king of that game. Well, then 4U came out on the 3DS, and I did want to get it because I really enjoyed Monster Hunter, but I never really wanted to play it, and I never really had the time, and I was like, I'll get it eventually, Mike. Well, one day Mike actually sends me the game, a physical cartridge of the game, in the mail, and that was kind of my jump start into 4U, and I'm proud to say that even though I started a couple of months after him, I have surpassed him in that game and will always be the champion, so there is that.
Yes, but now we have a whole new game to start out in, and I'm going to make sure that I am never beat by you again.
Good luck.
Oh, well, here, I'll give you a bonus tip so you can try to be as cool as I am. You don't need, when you're carving items or gathering items anymore, you don't need to tap the A button anymore. If you just hold it, you auto-grab now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I figured that out earlier. I wanted to let you know that, because I'm like, he probably doesn't know.
But of course.
Oh, obviously, because I know way more about Monster Hunter, because I'm the mentor here. But in this game, you collect items, and if you crouch, there's a button you press to crouch your character down. You pick them up faster than if you're standing up, because that makes sense. If you're down near something, you pick it up faster than you're standing up, bending over, blah, 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 blah. But now, if you bend down and hold the A button, you'll gather it and gather again right away. It'll say, oh, you picked up this item, then right away, oh, you got that item, you got that item, you got that item. And That saves a lot of time, because even if you mash buttons really fast in the old games, there's a certain, like, lag. You cannot pick items faster than a certain amount. And monsters, if they're around you, good luck getting all the carbs out of a certain monster, because they just keep knocking you over. So, there's a little tidbit for you, Lucas. You're welcome.
I actually do appreciate that, because I tend to play kind of lazy, and I find picking items to be a chore, so maybe that'll make it easier.
All the snide away, that's a really good tip for all you hunters out there, too, that are just getting into the game, or picking up a new hunter, or a new Monster Hunter game after not playing for a while. So, what got me into Monster Hunter? Like I said, I started playing on the Wii version of Monster Hunter Tri. That was back in 2009, I believe. Back when MySpace was popping, that's how far back I go in this game. But, a buddy of mine, Mark, who I still talk to, he was playing the game, and he posted about it in this one Nintendo group on MySpace. And I was like, that was cool. Maybe I'll get it. He posted a couple of videos, and I'm like, okay, I gotta try this game out. I bought the game. I even bought the little microphone attachment for the Wii that no one ever used. A waste of $20. But, I got that, and I started playing it, and it came as a Pro Controller. Or the Classic Controller Pro, and that felt so good to play on. And after that, I just got hooked. I spent hours on hours into that game. I lost a relationship playing that game. I don't even care. Great game.
Oh, wow.
That got a bit too deep. But, but yeah, and then I started playing 3 Ultimate when it came out. I got that, when they announced the Wii U, like on one of the launch titles they brought up was Monster Hunter 3U, and my buddy Frank, because I was working at the time, then the Direct came out for the Wii U, and he told me, oh, Monster Hunter, or MH3U is going to come out. I'm like, MH3U, you mean Monster Hunter? Yeah. I'm like, oh, great. So I got the game, got the console, and I put my 1,000 hours in. I've been hooked ever since. It's not a game I usually pick up and play, because it's such a time-consuming game, and I don't have a lot of time either between school and work and everything else I do with my life, all my volunteer work. It's hard to keep like a steady hold on a game. But it's not one of those games like Zelda, if I don't play for a month, I forget what I'm doing, I gotta start all over. I can just pick up any time, hunt a monster or two, get online, have some fun, level up, get better than Lucas, and then I'm good.
Oh, nice. I actually did want to say, because it sounds kind of absurd when you talk about, like, your experience with the game, like, I lost a relationship in this game, I have 1,000 hours in this one title, but Monster Hunter really is... It really is one of those games that kind of becomes like an experience for you. If you play it and you actually get into it, like, it's just something that you do. It's like Pokemon. Like, once you've played a few Pokemon games and you know it's a game that you like, you're a Pokemon trainer. Even if you don't touch the game for like 10 years, you go back and play it, you still know Pokemon, you still do Pokemon. It's the same thing with Monster Hunter. If you get into it and you put the time into it, then, like, you're forever a hunter. And even if you don't touch the first or the new game that comes out for, like, 3 or 4 months, once you start playing it, you just slide right back into it.
Yeah, and I find that great because it's also a really big community experience. Like I was saying before, you rely on people to help you level up and get stronger. Lucas and I, we've been talking and playing and being friends before Monster came out. Like I said, Nintendo Land brought us together. So from the beginning of the Wii U launch back in 2012, we've been kicking it ever since. But I feel like we spent most of our time together working together playing Monster Hunter and Pokemon and Smash, but mostly Monster Hunter. And it's one of those games that is, when you play it with someone else, you bond a friendship. You bond over a long distance, like Lucas and I am, and Holly and I am, and Bradley and I are. We play Monster Hunter now and then. Like we've grown stronger as like a friend, as like a friendship. We've grown stronger as like people who we can talk to and like count on, rely on, like in terms of like stuff like this. And I feel like playing it solo and meeting random people, you find some cool people playing this game. Some of my friends that I talk to now that I'm really cool with, I found playing Monster Hunter. It's just one of those games that you lose a lot, but you gain a lot playing this game too. Like you lose a lot of time, but every minute, every hour is totally worth it. Could you find something new out? You meet some new people. You get a whole new experience. Everything is just totally like totally amazing. And like even now, like before we started this podcast, I find a way to break the game. There's no voice chat in Monster Hunter Generations, but there's like a text shout out thing you can do, and you can program your own text shout outs. And I made a little heart sign, the little less than sign, and a 3 and stuff. Turns out that breaks the text in the game, and I dare you all to try that. Make a chat shout out in the game, put a less than 3, and see what happens. Just see what happens. It's cool. So. That needs to be fixed.
Yeah, it was literally about maybe a minute before we started recording. Mike is putting in a little heart symbol, and then he shows me the screen from Skype, and sure enough...
The game's broken. So, cool. So, let's kind of wrap this up a little bit sooner. So let's just kind of move for one other topic. Like we kind of talked about how we fell in love with Monster Hunter, but, like, why do we keep falling in love with it? And, like, how do we convince that, like, that kind of feeling? How do we portray that to someone else? Like, a new, I meet Joe Schmo playing Pokemon Go out in the street someday, and he says, oh, I'm looking for a new game to play. You know, I can't keep playing Pokemon forever. My data's going to run out, or my battery's dying. And I'll be like, well, play Monster Hunter. Or you'll be like, oh, play Monster Hunter. What can we say to them, to new people, that be like, oh, this sounds really cool? Like, what will make them fall in love with it like we have?
Well, I think I actually have this conversation with a lot of coworkers who are kind of iffy on the whole subject. It really is one of those games that you have to be willing to, this is going to sound really creepy, but you have to be willing to kind of give a little piece of your soul to it if you want to, you know, really play it, because it is going to eat up a lot of your time, whether that's gaming time or just like downtime that you're going to end up dedicating to it. But it's just one of those games where you're constantly trying to push yourself to the next level. And I think I lucked out having a, I'm going to say rival, like you, because yes. We are constantly sending each other texts about like how one of us has hit a certain rank, and now the other one has to beat him, or how one of us just killed this really important monster that the other one hasn't even seen yet. And I think if you have somebody else, like if you're trying to convince a friend to play it, I think having that, like, you know, I'll be there to, you know, hunt with you and get you to my level, then we can compete and stuff. There's a lot of just constant building and growth for your character. And it's actually a game that I think with the right mindset, you can take a lot of pride in what you accomplish in it, because there are a lot of challenges in the game. And it's kind of exciting to see how far you come from the very beginning.
Well, that was very well put. I don't know what to say anymore. let me try to add on to that by saying, if you like Pokemon, you like Monster Hunter, because like you're not catching these monsters, you're not killing Pokemon in Pokemon like you are in Monster Hunter. But in terms of like you collect them all. You in Pokemon you collect the monsters and you battle with them. In this game, you collect the monsters like rewards and you show them off. You wear their armor. You wield their weapons. Your kitty cats, your Palkos, they show how far you've come in the game. They show how much armor you have. They show all the cool stuff. It's just like, it's a feeling of like self, reward, I guess. You see what you've done. You feel what you've done. Cause you feel as you go back to the older missions to help someone else out, someone that you recommend a game to, and you pick on your, and you put on your newfangled shiny rainbow armor that you just got from beating this rainbow chameleon. And you whoop the monster snot out of them, or the dung out of them, to be more game adequate. Because you can pick up monster poop in this game. That's a great way to put it. Hey, you like poop? Here's a game for you. But but you beat these monsters so much faster than you first got it, and you feel like you've become something in this game. You feel like you've become like a leader or a more powerful person or a more or skilled hunter or a better gamer or anything. It shows a reward. It has that collection effort, kind of like Pokemon. You know, you go back to those earlier routes to find some more Pokemon or go shiny hunting or just whatever, walk around, and you find a Pokemon, you throw your level 95 Gengar out there, level 100 Dragonite or whatever you have, and you just mop the floor with them and half of it hit, and you're like, oh, that was cool, I'm strong. Same thing in this game. You have like a immediate visceral, sensual, all kinds of like aspects of game playing, reaction and immediate reward for doing what you do. And it starts off slow. Yeah, if you don't like slow starting games or if you don't want to read a lot, this is not the game for you to start out on, because you have to start out doing so much stuff. And Lucas left my game, but
my battery was dying.
Oh well, you'll come back on in a minute. But you start off really slow. You have to pick up mushrooms and potions and horns and magic stuff. But then you start fighting these monsters and you feel like, okay, I've earned this now. I can do this. And it's just, I guess to cap it off, if you like being given reward, this is the game for you. If you like hunting monsters, literally, this is for you. If you like big weapons and big, cool, flashy armor, this is for you. You like community games, this is for you. you like free DLC, this is the game for you, because they don't have paid DLC yet. They said they're going to have it for 4 Ultimate. They didn't, thankfully. But Monster Hunter is just that kind of game. Everyone can get into it for any kind of for there's a million reasons for a million people to get into it. Just find it and play it. You'll enjoy it. And if you're coming back to this game from playing before, it's still new. There's still new stuff into it. It's great. And I think on that, I'm just going to say Monster Hunter is Monster Hunter. That's why it's so awesome. Lucas, any final words before we wrap this up and start playing some intense monster hunting?
I'm definitely up for that. I guess, really, it kind of just feels like reiterating what you said, but I guess I'll say it in my own way. It really is just a game that constantly sets up challenges and barriers for you to knock down. So if you're the kind of gamer who gets into that, it's absolutely perfect for you. Like, you'll be hunting, and you'll defeat your first big monster, and you'll think, all right, now I've got this, I'm the best. And then all of a sudden, they'll be like, congratulations, now you can hunt rank 2 monsters, and there's, like, 8 new things to kill, and you have no idea how to fight any of them. It's that constant getting challenges, defeating them, and then being rewarded for defeating them with the new armor and the new weapons, and that constant slow growth that I think really makes it such a great game. And it's really, like, literally probably the closest thing you'll ever play to a game that never ends. You can be at the end game of this game. You can be hunting the strongest monsters. You can be rank 300, rank 400, rank 500, and still be challenged and still have new experiences. It never really ends, which is great for anyone who really, really likes playing these kind of games.
Very well put, very well put. My final words are, I've played this game for 6 hours so far, 9 hours now. It's 9 o'clock on our time. We're wrapping up the podcast. I got this game at noon today. I'm probably going to spend all night playing this game. I have to go somewhere tomorrow. I'm going to be dead tomorrow. I don't even care. Like, I'll be playing sports and stuff outside. I'll be dead. Well, what's wrong, Mike? I played Monster Hunter all night. No shame. That's how this game works for people. So, that's it, everybody. That's our Nintendo Fever our special podcast for this week. If you're a reader of the website, you know who Lucas and I am, but you can definitely find both of us writing articles every now and then. I'm going to officially give Lucas the go-ahead to review this game if he wants to, because his 3DS can connect to Miiverse, so he can save all the photos for good screen capping stuff. I can't do that because I'm banned, because everyone knows that already. So if you want to, you can go ahead and review this game if you want. No pressure or anything.
Absolutely. If it's not stepping on anyone else's toes at Nintendo Fever, I would die to review this game.
Go ahead. This is all you. yeah, check us out. Check our articles out on NintendoFever.com. You can hit the Twitter at Nintendo Fever, Facebook, Nintendo Fever. I run a Twitter cast sometimes. You can find me on Twitter at Mike_the_poet. Lucas doesn't do social media anymore because he's lame.
Got a life?
Sure, but if you want, you can post your friend code up on here, or we'll put it in the description or something. That way people can find you and me, because I'll share my friend code on Twitter and on the Nintendo Fever Twitter, so they can find me and stuff. But if you want, you can share your friend code if you can pull it up. I have yours up ready to go if you want. I can share it for you. Just so we can get a bigger community going on, you know? We can get we talk about inviting people into the game. Let's invite them into our group. We can have them hunt with us now and have a Nintendo Fever community night, I guess, you know?
Yeah, that's absolutely fine with me. I have, like, 90 open friend slots because I don't befriend anyone online, so I'd be more than happy to hunt with anybody who listened to this podcast.
Yeah, so if you're still listening and you want to play Monster Hunter, I'll share mine on Twitter and on the description for the article. But Lucas's friend code, and write this down, 4184. 4735-1069. That's 4184-4735-1069.
Beautifully, beautifully read.
Thank you. That's Nintendo Fever Podcast for this week. That's us for this week. Look out for the episode 70 of the podcast coming out not too long after this one comes out. And hope you guys have a good night, and happy hunting to everybody. Peace out. Say goodbye, Lucas.
Bye, Lucas.